Now, the family of Tony Robinson will receive a $3.35 million settlement. That's a settlement for a federal civil rights lawsuit over his death. Robinson, a 19-year-old biracial man, was unarmed when he was shot and killed almost 2 years ago by Madison police officer Matt Kenny. The lawsuit was against Kenny and the city of Madison.
Robinson was shot after police received 911 calls about him being aggressive and behaving erratically when he was under the influence of hallucinogens. His death sparked protests throughout the city and became a national headline during a period of high tensions between police and communities of color.
The settlement came yesterday in spite of the police department's objections. Robinson's grandmother called it, quote, bittersweet. But officers said that the case should have gone to trial so Officer Kenny would have a chance to defend himself. Kenny was previously cleared by the Dane County District Attorney of criminal wrongdoing.
Michael Bell joins us now. He's the father of a police shooting victim and is now an activist on police community issues. He's also a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. Michael, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, what was your first reaction when you heard news of this settlement yesterday?
My first reaction was, wow, that's an extremely high amount. Typically, we've never seen that type of amount issued in the settlement in the state of Wisconsin.
And the family and the family's attorney, the Robinson family, has said this is a clear indication that the law would have been on their side had they gone to trial. Do you agree with that assessment?
I went through this with my own son. He was killed in 2004. In 2010, the city of Kenosha settled with our family. It was based on the merits of the case. Realistically, and they are taking a look at risk management if this does go to jury and it does settle on behalf of the Robinson family, an extremely larger amount could be given to that family. I just recently shared with someone the results of Douglas Zerbe, who was killed in California. His family went to trial, and they received a $6.5 million settlement. So that's a big deal, and I think the insurance companies were minimizing their risk.
What does the decision to settle out of court instead of pushing to have it go to trial, what does that say to the public about this case?
Knowing what I know now, I don't think it's a decision whether the law officers or the public are matter. I think this is about minimizing the exposure to an overall risk. And I hear the same things that now as I heard in my own son's case. I mean, the police chief back in 2004 said, we want this thing to go to trial. We want to prove to the public, you know, that our officer was correct. And that's the exact same thing I'm hearing from both sides here. But I think the most important part here is this, is that There is a way out, and we have to quit looking at what the fault was, and have to look at really what was the cause, and determining why there was a number of factors that led to this young man's death, and is there something that we could do to prevent that? And that's what we're trying to work at here in Wisconsin.
And, you know, there were several different passes through this case from different angles. Madison DA, Dane County, Ishmael Ozan cleared Officer Kenny. No charges were filed. The Madison Police Department cleared Officer Kenny of any wrongdoing. There were those in Officer Kenny's favor. So what does that say about the process and how this has worked out so far?
And knowing what I know after 14 years of looking at this, the officer, you know, you have to give the officer the ability to defend himself if they need to. So therefore, he had no criminal wrongdoing. The law provided him to use deadly force if he needed to. And that's what they're adamant about on that side. What I'm arguing about as a father who lost a child is that were there other things that could have been done to prevent this chain of negative events that caused this boy to lose his life? Could Officer Kenny be treated for PTSD from an original shooting that happened maybe years before that? Could he have waited 30 seconds for backup to come in? Those types of things, and those have to be learned by a different system that isn't in place with law enforcement now.
And Michael, you're associated strongly here in Wisconsin with a law now in place to call for outside investigations when there's a police-involved shooting like this. The things you're talking about now here on the radio with us, looking for ways to avoid the situation altogether, maybe to offer PTSD treatment. That seems like it's outside of that law. How do we get at some of those things?
We're calling for an external learning model like they use in transportation. The NTSB, they take a look at when an airplane crashes, they take a look at what were all the factors that caused that death, and they issued recommendations on how to prevent it from happening again. And the FAA and the airlines either can accept or reject those recommendations. We are calling for an external learning model in law enforcement where these could be looked at and determine if there were human factors or communication issues that might have led to that death, and then issue recommendations on how to prevent it from happening again, and also compiling a database so that we can understand that if we do implement some type of reform, is it taking hold? And most importantly, once these lessons are learned, let's have a dissemination mechanism so that way these lessons can be shared with all 700 law enforcement agencies in the state of Wisconsin so that way they can all be speaking on the same page. That's what happens in aviation. That's what makes it successful. That's what needs to happen in law enforcement.
In a case like this, which is highly emotionally charged and parties concerned are assigning things like innocence or guilt and also punitive damages, monetary amounts to be paid out, how do you get people to get interested in the things that you're talking about, looking at an overall big picture sort of model?
I want to tell your listeners that Jim Palmer over at the Wisconsin Professional Police Association and I got over those emotions back in 2010. We came together as two fathers that wanted to make things better for both law enforcement and the community. So we were able to do it, and I assure you that other people can do it. If we have to take the attention off of finding fault, which is what's occurring now because the police are blaming Robinson and Robinson's family are blaming the police. But we have to look at what was the true cause that led to it and how do we prevent it from happening again. And that's the secret.
We're talking right now with Michael Bell. He's the activist father of police shooting victim Michael Bell Jr. And we're looking at the case of Tony Robinson, who was shot and killed by a police officer in Madison in 2015. His family received a $3.35 million settlement from the city insurer yesterday.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're picking up our conversation right now with Michael Bell. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force and the father of a police shooting victim. Yesterday, the family of Tony Robinson received millions to settle a federal civil rights lawsuit over his death in a police shooting in 2015. And Michael, when we left off, you were looking for more of a find and fix model with police shootings, similar to what happens after a plane crash, where there's a lot of culling of evidence and trying to figure out what went wrong and then disseminating that information. Can you give us more details on what that might look like when it comes to law enforcement in a case like this?
Well, a partied review is what the National Transportation Safety Board actually uses. They gather all the evidence and then they actually argue about the evidence to determine what they feel was the true cause. And then after they determine the true cause, then they issue a number of safety recommendations. I recently wrote an article, in fact, it was published in the Capital Times, I think it was last month, and what I did is I took two examples. I took a shooting out of Beaverton, Ohio, at a Walmart where a guy was walking to the back of the store and he picked up a plastic gun, and people saw him in the store and called 911 and said, there's a man in the store with a gun, and he was actually shot by a police officer. And then I used an example of a man that was flying an airplane out of St. Louis. He taxied onto a runway, and an airplane, a jetliner that was taking off actually hit his aircraft and killed him and his passenger. But both of those were reviewed, but the outcomes were significantly different. In the St. Louis aviation crash, a number of recommendations were issued, and we improved aviation because of it. But in the Beaverton, Ohio Walmart shooting, nothing changed. It remained the same, and we know that it's going to happen again at a later date. And so that's what we're looking for here. Determine what really went wrong, issue recommendations, disseminate those lessons to law enforcement, and then see if we can start bringing down those fatal shootings. They estimate that 25% of fatal shootings are what's called mistake of fact, and that's what happened with my own son. My son did not have his hand on a gun or anything like that. An officer mistaken that, and therefore my son died. And the Douglas Zerbe shooting that I talked about earlier, he was holding a spray nozzle for a garden hose, and he mistook it as a gun. We take a look at Tamir Rice. Those type of shootings are a mistake of fact, and they can be improved upon.
When you talk about disseminating the findings, you find out what went wrong, and you try to get a fix for it, and then you want to get that information out to other, you know, say, law enforcement agencies in the state or in the country. Do you think there's openness to that? It seems as though there are different cultures within law enforcement and maybe different degrees of willingness to be told maybe a so-called right way or a new finding about how to do something. How do you think that part of it would work?
I think it's actually playing out quite well, because I just recently had a conversation with one of the past president of the Wisconsin Police Chiefs Association, and he informed me that after our law passed, a week later, we had the Dontre Hamilton shooting in Milwaukee. Well, because of our law, now a public report is being issued, and good police chiefs are actually taking a look at those reports and trying to find out what really happened in that shooting and how can they train their officers better to make sure that that doesn't happen again. That right there is the basic dissemination of that knowledge, and that's the path that we're moving on in law enforcement.
And Michael, as we wrap up, as you've been talking about, you're the father. Your son was also shot and killed by police. And again, I'm so sorry for that loss. Having gone through that experience, what do you recommend for family and for community members who are trying to move forward and to heal after something like this happens?
Two things. First off is you have to understand that I support law enforcement. Very difficult job. But sometimes the training could cause problems, and sometimes there is bad policing, but we need to stand up for that. And to the family that lost a child, it's devastating. And even our family, we used our settlement to go ahead and help change the law. Possibly that might happen with the Robinson family, that they could use some of those funds to help make things better for everybody. So that's what I can recommend.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Michael Bell is the father of a police shooting victim. Now he's an activist on police community issues. Also a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force. He joined us to talk about how Wisconsin might deal with officer-involved shootings in the future.
And you can support important conversations like this one with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.